Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free 30-day trial and free audiobook at audible.com/GTR.
Ladies and gentlemen. Stop! Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamer Tag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
I won this one.
Come on.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio episode 557. This is your host Danny, aka Godfrey, and joining you this week we have the usual co-host. We have Pete. Pete, what's up?
How you doing, man?
Good, man. Hype. Are you hype? Because I'm hype. I'm always hype.
24/7. I know, you're always hype, but there's... I don't know. It's been an interesting week in games and media, so I'm amped to talk about this week's stuff, so let's just get right to it.
Definitely. And also, joining this week, Paris!
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, look, it's been a week without my Xbox One sitting here on my desk collecting dust, and I'm still alive.
How do you feel about
working
that?
It's working out. I think it's working out. I think I'm going to be okay.
Has it been the feedback ever since that episode got released?
I've not gotten anything negative yet. Just people saying, no, I totally get you know why you did it. Totally understandable. Hope you, check back again in the future, you know, about the Xbox, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's cool. And again, I've installed Quantum Break, but I haven't played it yet. And I'm sure we'll get to that in a second. So I'll be quiet.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Paris. And remember, everyone that's listening out there, we need your help. Continue to take this survey at platesurvey.com. That's platesurvey.com. And this will help GTR big time. And we're planning a lot of cool things in the future, like E3 and other events happening this year. So continue to take the survey. It only takes like a couple minutes, 3 minutes or so. And help us, GTR. All right. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag to download our past episodes, and also make sure to share with your friends. You could also find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. I know this is a video game podcast, but very quick, we need to talk about this new Star Wars trailer, Rogue One. Very quick, your thoughts, guys, once you got to see it today.
In Disney, we trust at this point. They didn't give us a lot, but they gave us enough that I'm interested. I'm going to be there day one wearing my friggin' R2-D2 underoos. So, I mean, I'm in. They got me. I mean, after The Force Awakens, I trust the direction that they're going. So, I'm all in. I'm excited for it.
Even though every episode is going to be with different producer director teams, do you still have that full trust?
Well, I mean, what they're doing is J.J. Abrams, Kathleen Kennedy, they're kind of the overseers of everything that's going on now. It's basically the Star Wars branch of Disney, the same way Kevin Feige is the overseer of everything they're doing with Marvel, right? Mm-hmm. There's different directors and producers on all the Marvel stuff. And for the most part, they've all been excellent. And look, I've said it a million times already. Episode 8, I have 1000% faith in, because that's Rian Johnson. And I think he's one of the best directors out right now to do sci-fi. So I know that's going to be great. But just a little bit. We saw Rogue One. I mean, it's what I want. It felt gritty. It felt ground level. It felt like Ocean's 11 in space. You know what I mean? Because we know what they're going to go do. They're going to go steal the plans to the Death Star. Look, that's a story we've always heard for the past 30 years because of A New Hope. And now we get to see it play out. So yeah, I'm definitely interested to see.
I love how they kept it very old school. It feels, I mean, like watching it, it reminds me a lot of like when the early Star Wars days back in the 70s and stuff, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, my question is the cast. Your thoughts about the cast in this movie that they picked? for this one?
Well, I wholeheartedly disagree with all of the race baiter or gender baiting people on the internet that are complaining, oh, it's a girl as the protagonist. Well, you know, last time I checked, Force Awakens did pretty damn well and was pretty satisfying to most Star Wars fans. So if it worked, why are you going to try to fix a, you know, why are you going to fix a, or try to fix, you know, a working protocol?
They're the first
protocol.
One. They're going to be the first one going to the movies, too. It's like, oh, come on.
Oh, we all, I think it's safe to say a lot, most people are going to go, even the people that are complaining about, you know, and shout out to Khalif, because, you know, he's always going to bring up the controversy and stuff like that.
Okay. Can I jump in on that real quick since you brought up our boy Khalif? Forrest Whitaker is in this movie, and there is a hilarious meme out there right now, or a gif or whatever you want to call it, where they took the movie Ghost Dog, you know, where he's you know, like he's like a samurai with a sword, and they put a lightsaber in his hand. It looks so freaking dope.
Really? I gotta see it.
Oh, you gotta see it. And then the caption under it is, he's been training for this role his entire life. And it shows him with the lightsaber. It's so dope.
That
is
shout out to Ghost Dog. All right, what was that? Was RZA's movie, right?
Yeah.
So shout out to RZA, Wu-Tang reference. But yeah, man, I mean, and actually for those that are complaining about race and all that, you've got Forrest Whitaker, you've got, who's the guy that plays the crazy one coming out there with what looks like a fire, the flamethrower. So it looks like you've got a Pacific Islander, you've got an Asian in Donnie Yen. I can't wait to see what he brings to this movie.
That looks dude, really dope.
You're touching them and you got a Hispanic in, what's his name? Diego. I think it was Diego Luna is playing who's supposed to be Felicity Jones's partner in the movie. Dude, you're touching on all of this. So if anything, those of you that are race baiting, come on, stop. This is one of those Bomani Jones moments, right?
Oh, by the way,
that T-shirt.
He won the freaking internet.
Yes, the T-shirt. Oh my god.
My god, that was so brilliant.
It was going around.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. And then ESPN censors them. So stupid. Right. But I have to say one more thing on Rogue One. So, what do you think about the speculation already that Felicity Jones is Rey's mom? I don't think so. That's just way too convenient.
I don't know. It's too early. It's too early for me to say.
Well, see, there's also the possible. And I think it's going to be any woman that comes out in one of these prequel type events is automatically going to get the Rey's mom reference tagged on him, because I think Laura Dern, who's going to be in episode 8, there's the rumor that she could be Rey's mom. But yeah. I think the one component that may, you know, it might be more obvious that this potentially could be Rey's mom is that the dark hair, similar fighting styles with the stick and a bow or staff or whatever. So, you know, they're the similar, you know, independent streak. It's there's possibilities, but shout out to Mon Mothma. Love you.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you brought that up. I got two more things. Again, the Mon Mothma thing, because I was talking about this in the chat earlier. So, the original, because it was uncanny how much she looks like the original Mon Mothma. So I looked up the original actress, still alive, 83 years old, living in the UK. So God bless her. Maybe they'll give her some tiny cameo or something down the road. But the one last thing I wanted to say, and I'm forgetting it as I'm saying it, so cause this is what happens when you get old, folks. You get old and you don't remember stuff. My God. The one scene where they showed the Red Imperial Guard. Obviously, we know Vader's in this movie, but I'm telling you right now, if they get Ian McDiarmid and there's a Palpatine cameo in here, I might faint right there in the theater.
Well, usually those are the ones that's the, you know, they're the Imperial Guard, they're the Royal Guard or whatever. So they're usually the ones that would accompany the Emperor. In this case, since it's prequel style, it would be Emperor Palpatine. So
it makes sense, though.
But how dope would that be if they've kept that under wraps this whole time that he's in the movie, you know, and he shows up too? Yeah, it'd be perfect. So I'm excited.
They kept everything on the wrap for this one. Like the last movie, there was leaks everywhere. But for some reason, this one has been very quiet.
Think about The Force Awakens. I know people want to hear video games, but real quick. So think about what Force Awakens. Disney is very smart with their marketing, because we didn't get nothing on The Force Awakens with the trailers. Like, I like watched every trailer that came out. And when I saw the movie, it still was fresh. Like I didn't really get to see anything. I think that's just what Disney's doing with Star Wars. They know we're going to go. So why give it all away, Phoenix, in the trailers? like Somebody Batman Superman. You know, like Batman Superman gave us the entire movie away in the trailers, yeah, right? Whereas true. It doesn't seem like they're going to do this for Star Wars, so that's good.
All right. All right, let's talk about video games, because I know there's a lot of people like, really, guys? Movies? Really? Really? But I'm definitely going to ask a question to you, Paris, about a certain movie coming out later this year.
Okay.
But we'll say that for the end of the show.
Okay.
And also, we have a very interesting voicemail that I'm going to play after I answer this question, because a lot of people have been asking, been not complaining, but mentioning it a lot. So I think I want to say it one more time so people know my thoughts about this. Should I play it now or should I play that later? Paris, it's up to you. Because that way we talked about this earlier.
Let's come back to it since we rambled on about movies. Let's talk video games first.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about video games. All right. So Gears of War 4, release date, beta coming out in, I believe, by the time everybody listens to this, it's going to be like in a week or so. Lots of new details about the game. Your thoughts? Because, I mean, I'm excited for the beta. I'm definitely going to be playing it. And I know one thing that I read, that this game is going to have split screen in old modes. It's not like, you know, certain games that came out recently a couple months ago that they removed split screen. But it's cool that Microsoft is going to be adding that in old modes, which is awesome, I think.
Shout out to BS Angel.
Oh, yes. Very quick, BS Angel.
Since you're talking about other games that didn't do split screen.
Oh, okay. Wow, Paris, you got to call me out like that.
Good.
But anyways, yeah, BS Angel, she's leaving.
343 Industries.
343, yeah, she's leaving. Nobody knows actually why she's leaving, but shout out to Jessica. She's been
I know
the person
why.
That been. Paris. Come on. Come on, Paris.
No, I don't really know. Okay. But I think I know, but I don't really know.
All right. No, but shout out to Jessica. You know, she's been really involved since day one with the gaming community, especially the Halo community. So, and she's been great to us, man. She's been helping us in the past, got us some interviews and codes for beta, Halo betas in the past and everything. And she's been someone that has been helping us since day one. So shout out to Jessica. And I know one of the first community events that Pete went, she was there, and it was the Dead Space community event, right, Pete? A couple years ago.
Yeah,
it was
like, absolutely.
That was really awesome, man. So let's talk about Gears of War, man. So your thoughts, man. The game is coming out, I believe, October. What's the okay?
11th. October 11th.
I think that's a perfect time for them to release this game. I don't know. We still don't know the details on what games are coming out at the end of the year. But are you excited for this? I know they showed us a couple of videos during E3. Some people like this. Some people were like kind of like, But I would like to get your feedback about this very quick.
I don't know if I'm as amped for this release as I was in the past, like for past iterations of Gears of War. First one, obviously, that's a special title, you know, because it was first in the IP.
Mm-hmm.
Really looked forward to it. I distinctly remember firing up the Xbox 360 with Gears of War 1, and when you see Marcus Fenix getting broken out of jail or whatever, and it's just like when he comes out into that open courtyard, it was like the greatest thing since sliced bread, because it was just like, wow, this is amazing on a console. And then,
yep.
You know, with the last two, you know, the Gears of War 2 had a lot of good times with it. 3, by the time 3 came out, I was just rushing to get through the single player, because for me, it's almost taken on a Halo type feel where I don't want to play the multiplayer. I'm just enamored with the single player and play the campaign. Horde mode obviously made a big ruckus in the gaming multiplayer scape, because now almost every multiplayer game has a version of Horde mode, as they call it. So I'm coming into this kind of, you know, hesitant, because I don't want to be disappointed. The last couple of major releases or major Xbox exclusives have come across a little substandard, in my opinion. So I'm trying to temper my expectations for this game. I'm hoping it's good. You know, obviously for, you know, just from a gamer's perspective, I want it to be good so I can enjoy it. But I'm kind of tempering my expectations.
And you, Paris?
Similar to Pete in that I don't want to get too hyped for it now. I do want to see more. I won't get to play the beta because I don't have an Xbox anymore. But the beta is about to come out. I'll be curious to see what people are saying about that. They have let's put it this way: they got the right guy in charge, you know, over at the Coalition and Rod Ferguson.
Original Viking.
Exactly. So. So I think it's in good hands, but like something I've been telling people offline for a while, I almost just feel like this is a tad rushed. Like I was expecting to see a Gears 4 in 2017, not holiday 2016. So that gives me a little bit of pause. But overall, graphically, it looks really good. I like the fact that they've gone forward in time. There's going to be new enemies, etc. So, I mean, it's like I said, I'm excited. I'm just not throwing my money at the screen yet. I'm still waiting to sit at that E3 media brief and see what they show me for the campaign there. Yeah, Pete, I think it's a little rushed.
3.5 years is rushed.
2.5.
It's March 2013 is when Judgment came out.
We don't know yet.
They didn't start on this until Rod Ferguson came in and it became the Coalition at Black Tusk. That was 2.5 years ago.
2.5 years is pretty solid time. They already have, it's not like they have to work on a story. Most of that is already in play.
Okay, but here's all I'm saying. Go back to the day they bought the Gears of War license. It didn't start until after that. That was 2.5 years ago. That's all I'm saying. I wanted to be a showcase. I'm just saying it gives me a little pause because I almost feel like I want this game to be cooking in the oven a little more just to make sure I got everything right. I hope they're not just rushing this out to make sure they got a tentpole game for holiday 2016.
Yeah, so it's just under 2 years. So January 2014 is when Microsoft bought the license and had Black Tusk, you know, as the developer du jour. So,
but they've been working on this even before the announcements. That's what I'm trying to say. Like,
no, they haven't.
Years?
No, they have not.
But how you know?
They didn't have the license.
They didn't have the title. Rod Ferguson has said this himself in interviews. That's why I'm saying this. I'm not pulling it out of my tuchus. I'm going by what I read.
Oh, Paris, some of your analogies are so good. There's some 1964, I swear.
I know.
Funny daddy. I don't know, man. Well, we'll find out once the beta comes out. You think that will give us an idea if once we play the beta?
Yeah. Well, isn't that what I just said?
By the time this comes out, which is going to be April 11th, it'll be 1 week till beta kicks off. It's an invite-only basis, right? So that's not it's not going to be a purely open beta, although, you know.
Maybe not for certain GTR listeners if they're paying attention to social media around April 15th.
All right, so let's go. So
yeah,
let's go back to what Danny talked about with split screen, bringing it back.
Yes.
So if you play it full single player, you're going to have full 60 frames per second on the multiplayer, but the campaign mode only runs at 30.
Wait.
Yes.
So if it's split screen, then it drops to 30.
Right, but I'm also reading here that campaign mode will run in 30 frames per second as standard.
Yes, that's already been announced. Yes.
Isn't that kind of inverse to what should happen? Like if it's a single player, you should be able to run at a higher frame per second rate. Just
the opposite. Exact opposite of what you're saying. Because 60 is able to... You want 60 frames per second on multiplayer. So you got more things going on in the campaign, explosions and crazy stuff happening. You allocate the resources because in the single player, you don't need 60 frames per second to have that great cinematic experience, right? But you need 60 in multiplayer. So graphically, the multiplayer is not going to look as good as the campaign. That's basically what it comes down to.
Okay.
But that's okay, though. Again, who cares? If it's fun, it's fun. It doesn't matter if it looks slightly better single player than it does multiplayer. Who cares, right?
And is this also going to be available for PC?
They haven't officially said yet. They've not said no. So look,
well, that's true.
Hey, look, I got my fingers crossed. Because if they don't, I'm screwed.
You know what? Paris will be sweating. If the game comes out only for Xbox and there's no Windows version.
Here's what I do think about that, all jokes aside. I got a feeling the Windows 10 version will not come out on October 11th. I think it'll be delayed.
Why?
Because look at what happened with Quantum Break right now. I guess, do we want to get into that yet, or should I wait?
Just go for it. First of all, Paris.
Oh my God, here we go. Okay. Yes,
Quantum Break is an amazing game.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Hey, I just want to say that very quick.
I know you did.
Move on.
All I'm saying is this. As a Windows 10 owner, the UWP initiative for Quantum Break is freaking broken on the PC side. Just all types of issues, frame rate issues, things like that across various video cards. Some people it's perfectly fine. Some people it isn't. Again, I have a 980 card, runs under 30 frames per second at 1080p. That's ridiculous.
There was somebody on the gaff that wrote on a 980 Ti playing it at 1440, it plays like a slideshow.
Yeah. So
that should not happen in 2016. I'm sorry.
And look, they'll get it fixed. It's just at launch, obviously, it's had some issues. I just don't think UWP was ready for prime time now. I think they should have waited till the summertime to start doing all this kind of stuff.
Especially on a title. Would you call Quantum Break a high-profile title?
Yeah, it's a AAA title. Wouldn't you say? It's one of their big games of 2016, without a doubt.
It is.
And like I said, on the Xbox side, it's fine. Everyone loves it. It's a great game. I'm not saying that at all. It's just it's having issues because it's guaranteed
hardware. You know what you're dealing with across the board. But when you start bringing in the PC Master Race quadrant, you know there's an infinite possible of combination of hardware, and it just. I don't know,
here's the thing. That's why, like the point I was going to make, I would have been okay with them saying, well, the PC version of Quantum Break's not coming out until June. Okay. So we can continue to optimize it and get it right.
Do the rock style methodology for this.
Yeah, that's all. I don't need it day and date with the console version. You know, if you're going to put it on the PC, when you do put it out, make sure it's right. Same with, going back to last year, look at Arkham Knight. That was such a hot mess to the point where Warner Brothers... I mean, it works fine now if you're on a single GPU. They never fixed SLI. That they just threw their hands up and said, you know what? We're never fixing it. We're out.
We give up.
Done. Sorry.
Mic drop.
Yeah. Not even mic drop. That's just we give up. That's just.
But spinning back around to Gears 4. Yeah. Thank you to Microsoft. We should be having some codes for the beta that we'll give away. We haven't figured out exactly how we're going to give them away yet, but it'll probably be something on social media. So you guys will be able to jump in on day one and not have to wait until the podcast to figure out how to get in. So we'll have more details. Just make sure you follow at Gamertag Radio on Twitter. And I'm sure we'll have that information out here probably, like I said, by the 15th of April.
Yep. Just be on the lookout. Definitely. So I think for the past year or two, we've been always predicting, okay, what are we going to see at the PlayStation E3 press conference? And we always mention a new God of War game. Never happens. For the past few years, zero mention about God of War. I mean, we do see a couple of friends that work at Santa Monica, right?
Yes.
The developers, the team, we always see them over there at the PlayStation press conference and stuff, and during E3. But there's been leaks of concept artwork of God of War 4. Do you think this is the year that we finally going to see a new God of War game at E3 this year?
I think it'll at least be teased. I mean, another part of that rumor is it would be day and date with that PlayStation 4K. So I think we'll at least see a teaser for it. We know Kratos is coming. You know what I mean? He may not come this year, but then if you look at what PlayStation has for this holiday. I believe that Horizon is supposed to come out this year.
I don't know if
you've seen it lately, but my God, it looks beautiful.
It looks good.
So I'd imagine they got to have The Last Guardian, maybe. I'm not a believer that game's ever coming out, but
I'm done with that game. I'm sorry.
So I mean, I guess there's a chance it could come out this year. I would lean more towards 2017, but we know what's going to happen. And like you said, nameless Sony Santa Monica employee we see all the time at E3, he got to be doing something. They ain't paying them just sit around at the studio looking at people. They got to be working on something.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, man. I've totally forgot about that game, The Last Guardian. I don't know. I'm not really hype about that game. Like, after seeing the press conference a couple of times on YouTube, I watched and stuff, and we were there too. I don't know. I'm not hype at all for that game, man. It's same thing like No Man's Sky. Same exact thing. Hype at the moment. Then after, I'm like, I wonder why is that, man, that happens every single time.
I can't get hype for that game anymore because it's just been teased way too much. I will not believe that game is real until I turn on my PlayStation 4 and the credits come up and I get a controller in my hand. Till then, it's vaporware. It's No Man's Sky to me. Even though that has a date too, I still don't believe it.
And it's a $60 game too. Yeah.
All right, just want to take a minute here to talk about our sponsor, Audible.com. You know, they are the purveyors of audiobooks on the internet. You can find them at audible.com/GTR. And Pete, you know, I'm a big fan of Anne Rice.
Okay.
I think you are too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many books that you could bring up to use on audible.com. But the one I want to recommend and the one that just absolutely made me fall in love with Anne Rice and the whole Vampire Chronicles that she did for years was The Vampire Lestat. It was such a fantastic read. He is like the ultimate anti-hero slash villain that you love to hate him and you hate that he does the bad things that he does, but you root for him at every turn. So what do you think of all this vampire stuff with Anne Rice?
Honestly, my favorite book was Tale of the Body Thief.
You know, I love that one because it was like a self look, I'm getting all hyped because it was like a self-contained story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Within
it's
that.
Just, and it's, yeah, and yeah. It kept the whole concept of the coven and everything. I only read up until Merrick in 2000. I have not read like Blood and Gold and all the way down to Prince Lestat and the new one, Blood Paradise, that's coming out. I did read Pandora, which was actually pretty good. It held up on its own. That was like the new tales. It didn't have to do with, you know, the actual Vampire Chronicles and Lestat and the rest of his, you know, Lewis and Claudia and all them. But yes, I love audiobooks. I know it doesn't seem like something that you would hear from me, but yes, I'm an avid reader. I'm looking over my book collection. I'm a huge Dinar Kuntz fan. How can you not like reading? It's especially like, I know Paris and I, we're always talking about comic books and stuff like that. And so I'm a big comic book collector. So I love paper, and I actually, you know, Danny's girlfriend, shout out to Jen. She's a like, if anybody should be talking about reading books, it's her, but,
very true.
But yeah, absolutely. I love reading it. And Audible is just a natural extension of that. Yeah,
I know. And that's the beauty of it. Like you keep saying reading. Well, with Audible, you don't have to read because the perfect thing, like for myself having a commute of about an hour every day, I can just pop on Audible book. It's going to be read to me, you know, and I'm going to still get the same experience doing that I would sitting down and actually reading the book. And just a reminder with Audible, you know, they have more than 180,000 audio books and spoken word audio products. You'll love looking for them and finding them and having a great time experiencing all the various books that you can get at audible.com. So hurry now, go get a free 30-day trial and free audiobook today by signing up at audible.com/GTR.
Awesome. Thanks for sponsoring. All right. So I'm going to play the voicemail, Paris. I need to let it out. I'm going to play this voicemail real quick.
Yeah.
Fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Mail.
wasn't planned. So I'm gonna play this voicemail very quick. And we have a couple things to say about this. Check it out.
Hey, what's going on, Gamer Tag Radio? This is Keon calling from Baltimore again. Just wanted to just ask you guys, you know, very quickly. I just saw the newest episode. It just came up. You know, I'm very excited to listen to it. But I saw it, and it was 45 minutes long. I definitely know that you guys are making two shows every week, and trust me, I am very, very appreciative. I know it's very hard work to come up with different news and topics to talk about, and to do it on a consistent basis like you guys have done is nothing short of phenomenal. But my question is, do you guys think that maybe you should go back to one show a week? Because I know that you guys expressed why you keep these episodes a little shorter, but I just kind of liked it better when it would, you know, the conversation would flow for like an hour and some change sometimes, you know, after you do all of your advertisements and all. And I know you guys got to do that. You got to fund the show. I fully get that. I'm not mad at you. Get the money. But it just seems like the show is, you know, as far as the content, I don't know. Do you think it would just be better if you guys just go to one episode and really just leave it all on the table? Because I'm starting to, I'm not going to say feel gypped because, you know, you guys do it, but I you know, for free, but I don't know. But I'm still a faithful listener, but just wanted to get your take on that. Thanks, and keep working hard, guys.
All right, one more time, and I've been mentioning this now for years, since day one. When you have a podcast, it's not about the length, it's about the content.
Length!
Keyword, length. No, but on the real, it's all about the content. There's a lot of shows out there that have 2-3 hours of a podcast, and maybe the first hour there's a lot of content, then after that it just slows down. I am a believer that I'd rather stick with the 1 hour mark. If things, like if we have a lot of content that sounds really, really good, yeah, I'll push it a little bit more, you know, once in the blue. But we always been 40 to an hour. Usually that's the most of the time it's always been like that. Now having two episodes a week is helping us more to get more content, more things to talk about. And now instead of having it once a week for an hour, now is two shows, almost 2 hours per week. So I'm trying to figure out, what is it that people want? I remember people were emailing us saying, come on, release more episodes a week. Come on. And we're doing that, you know, and I'm having a lot of fun, you know. And here's one thing I have to say. We haven't taken a break since January 2015. It has been a brand new episode. And now with two episodes since 2015. If Paris and Pete would like to say anything extra, go for it. I have to say that very quick.
I would just say that, again, this isn't our 9-to-5 job.
It's not.
You know, we do this in our spare time. And just to even add on to this, we had someone on Twitter earlier saying, I don't like that you guys do the ads. You know, you shouldn't do the ads. So I posed a question back to him. Well, should we do a Patreon then? Are you going to support by donating every month? He's like, oh, no, I don't have that kind of money. I can't do that. You know, so it's like you can't win in that scenario. In that, look, We do the ads because they pay the bills. We have equipment costs. We travel to these events, things like that. That's what getting ads on the show helps pay for all that. So we're not spending that money out of our pocket. You know, I will just add on to what you're saying, Danny. You know, we were doing the one episode a week and people were saying, man, we want more content. So then we're like, hey, let's do two episodes a week. Do two episodes a week. And now if they're not an hour each, then we're shortchanging people. So again, We do the podcast because we love to do it, obviously, and we appreciate all the support that we get. And trust me when I say I like the feedback that we get, because it starts the discussion and we have to think about it and all that kind of stuff. So it goes both ways. But understand, if there's you're talking about us doing a 45-minute podcast during the quote-unquote dead part of the video game season, right? You just wait 2 months from now when the bombs hit. Look, there ain't nobody dropping bombs yet. When the bombs hit, you'll probably have to freaking put a muzzle on me to shut me up because there's going to be all kind of nonsense to come out. Like, matter of fact, I even tell the story. I was talking to a couple friends of ours that are going to be at E3, and I was joking with them. And I'm a curse slightly here, so if you would beep it, maybe, Danny, I don't know. But,
yeah, I'll beep it.
But but I was telling them, I'm like, man, the most exciting part of E3 for me is going to be all of us getting together post media briefing, because all the talking that's going to be going on, I cannot wait. No one's going to agree with anyone. Everyone's going to have an opinion, and that's the highlight of me for E3. So then when we hop on a podcast talking about this stuff, we're just going to go forever. So yeah, the content might be a little light right now, but you just wait. You just wait a couple months, and we're going to have plenty to talk about.
Oh, yes. Plenty. Pete?
I'm just adding fuel to the fire at this point. I honestly, I think it's more the food and just hanging out with everybody.
I already got the SpongeBob horn, you know, when they call Merman and Barnacle Boy the conch. I said the conch for Roscoe as soon as we get
so you know, shout out to Agent M over at Marvel.com. He was kind enough to join us last year. Who's gonna be the big people this year that we get to join us? We gotta start, like, hopefully E3 lasts longer than the next 2-3 years. I'd like to, like, we gotta start doing that. Like, bring like one person
to join us. Hashtag
E3 20 whatever.
Yes. Let me work on that. I'm gonna work. Right. I have a couple people in mind.
Yeah, that'd be a great opportunity. Yeah, it's just fun. No recording. You know, we could talk freely. It's a fun experience. Everybody's just sitting there with greasy fingers.
Talking. This is all about the syrups and the butters.
And that mac and cheese.
Yeah.
By the way, Pete, I think we should read more, a couple emails, man.
Uh-oh.
Because, you know, doing more? The length is not it's not long enough to show.
All right. Well, actually, you know what? We do have a couple people who've been contacting us about the division code. So, Paris, do we want to announce that here? Do you want to do that in private?
Let's do it in private.
Okay. All right. We could do that. Right. So.
Okay.
Oh, no.
But this one new email just came in from Justin. You want to read that? It says consoles.
Okay. Yeah, I can actually. I'll read that one out, dude. Shout out to Justin.
All right. Johnson. Go for it.
A longtime listener, never sent an email. Listening from the days when I had on my iPod, Uncle Gamer, Gamertag Radio, Achievement Junkie, and Sarcastic Gamer, when it was one show. Shout out to Gamercast Network. I cried, not literally, when it seemed GTR stole Paris from Uncle Gamer. Ha. Huh.
Why? Wait, how we stole from...
Hey, he was retired.
Uncle Gamer. You can't steal somebody that's retired.
I was sitting on the couch eating Popeyes. I wasn't doing a podcast.
You were still Fat Paris.
No, he wasn't.
No. I was fine, Paris.
Oh, God. All right. Anyway, I was listening to the show when you were discussing 1.5 upgrades for Sony and Xbox and was wondering if this was something they would do. I think yes, because they did this with their other consoles. The original Xbox had two consoles. In the one with the giant controller, and a few years later, the S controller. It wasn't a major upgrade, but a few years into the life, they repackaged and resold. They did it with the 360 as well, going from the white Ring of Death prone console over to the better black console a few years later, which had built-in wireless, etc., etc. PS3 did the same with the Slim and sticking with the no backwards compatibility, faster processor, built-in HDMI. So it is a normal thing. One thing about consoles, I am not a Wii U fan. Had it and gave it away. But the Big N is not as far away in terms of consoles in that they have one of the best-selling consoles on the market in the DS. Seems everyone, or at least every child, has a DS. Not me. It is a console many forget about, but it is a system. It too had multiple revisions, DS, DSi, non-foldable DS, and the new DS, where the Big N took a stance on each. New games will not be backwards compatible. Thanks for many years of entertainment, Justin of New York.
Shout out to Justin.
Huh. So does that mean we're looking at new DS?
I think both. New DS and new console for sure.
But this year at E3. What if the NX is the mobile console too, though?
That could work.
That's been the rumor. That's been the rumor that it's going to be basically something you could take on the go, and then you can plug it into something, and it's your home console as well. I doubt it if it has the horsepower that they're claiming that it's potentially going to have, but it'd be interesting if there was like a separate component that could come from that. So the same games that you play on the big screen, you can take on the go as a quasi DS or something. So look, a lot of answers coming from at E3 with Nintendo. They are truly the biggest mystery. So I'm excited. Which, by the way, I know we slightly talked about this offline a little bit. They've got to have a traditional press conference this year, right?
Although they have to. They can't have a normal YouTube stream. That doesn't work. That will work for like the fans, but what about the casual gamer, those that are watching like the mainstream media, like CNN and the MSNBC, the local channels? They need to get that crowd too. So, but you know, if Nintendo has a press conference, it's going to go everywhere. Major media, gaming sites, everywhere. So we'll help them big time get like that buzz, you know? So online stream only, that's not going to work. Not going to work this year. So, do we have more? Let me see if I find any. All right, this is from Chris. He's located in the Bay Area. Shout out to Chris. I stand with... Oh, first of all, the subject of the email, Team Danny. I like that.
Oh, no, I like wonder that, you're reading it.
He wrote, I stand with Danny on the graphics question. I think this is the debate that we were having, Pete, about is all about graphics or having fun. So he's like, I have outgrown the chase of the latest and greatest video card being pushed by the master race. I just want to be able to buy a fun game and play it. The constant need to upgrade a hardware is not something I want to spend my time doing. Honestly, this is why I feel like there will always be a market for console gaming. It's not just about people having the money or knowledge to chase the master race. Some just don't have time. I would rather spend my time gaming instead of building a brand new PC. Thanks so much for the organic panic code. I hope you have fun with that game. Great show. And shout out to Chris from the Bay Area. Guys, your thoughts?
To not come across as a PC elitist, like some people, it's a personal preference. This goes back to the whole console war, air quotes, that I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. I don't see it as that big of a deal. It's personal choice. Being in the technology field, it's a choice for me to want to look up and make sure that I'm on the latest and greatest. If I have the finances to do it, I do it. I don't go and I'm not swapping out video cards every time a new one comes out. That's ridiculous. That's like buying a new cell phone every time. It's like buying a new Android every time the newest one comes out. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. I don't have, granted, and I've said this on other shows, some people may have the know-how, but not the time involved to do this. And there's no knock on that. You know, Paris and I, we did the choice of building our own PCs because we had the knowledge, we had the time, and it's something we enjoy. We're in the technology field. It helps keep us grounded in what we do on a day-to-day basis. That doesn't mean that the Origin PC machine that I got for my son had to be any different. You know, I went out, I contacted Origin PC. We got my son an amazing gaming PC. I didn't have to worry about going out and building it. You know, so again, it's personal preference and choice. If you want to do that, you can. If you don't, there's no knock on it. You know, Danny doesn't have the time or the know-how or the desire, much less to keep up with the latest and greatest on PC hardware. You know, he's got an Alienware. He's got, you know, he's good. It takes, you know, it handles his needs. So it's up to the individual. If they want to and they have the resources to do so, go for it. But again, it's up to you.
All right.
And speaking of money, if you've got the cheddar to do it, great. If not, you can go to learnvest.com/GTR. LearnVest is an online financial advice company that focuses on getting people money. You know, if you want to find out a way to pay down your student loans, because I know that's another issue that's plaguing our students across the United States. They go into college, and by the time they graduate, hopefully, they're already deep in debt. They're, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in debt, if we're being judicious and very conservative with numbers here. But if you wanted to find out a way to pay those down quickly without putting yourself in debt, check out LearnVest. It's a great financial tool to help keep you on track and make sure that you've got the resources and the financial capital to help you make the decisions you want to do in the future. And all you have to do, if you want, you can go to learnvest.com/GTR, sign up, get a sample plan, and get a $50 credit towards, you know, your plan. So once again, that's learnvest.com/GTR, and make the most of your future, make the most of your money. And hell, if you're like Paris and I, your old fuddy-duddies, if you want to find a way to help contribute to your retirement account so you could retire, go to the gym, and play video games for the rest of your life and not have to work, learnvest.com/GTR. All right, so this next email is from Lowman's Dew. Shout out to Lowman's Dew. Hey, guys, before I toss my hat in the fight, let me give you guys props for reading as much fan mail as you do. I've never had a question go unanswered, which is a far cry from what I can say about others. All right. So I really think that Nintendo needs to step their game up. I'm not going to hate on 900p graphics. Neither is Paris, because he doesn't have to deal with that. Or anything. But if we're going to charge me what PS4 and Xbox One cost, I expect the product to be on that level. I didn't buy an Xbox One because of the price. I wouldn't have bought my PS4 at launch if it cost any more. The Wii U just isn't worth what they are charging for it. Even if they have Zelda and Mario, and I grew up on those. To add a little more about the PS Xbox discussion about 900p, they marketed them as 1080 60 frames all the time. That's what we were supposed to be paying for. That's not what we got. Not a lot of us have lowered our expectations. I love my PS4. Don't care about graphics, as really, as long as they aren't broken. But don't market me a race car and sell me a sedan. Peace, y'all. It's back to the grind.
All right. So I have the Steam Machine here. Mm-hmm. And I think I mentioned this online today. I just downloaded this brand new game. Just came out a couple days ago. It's called Hyper Light Drifter. It is one of the best 16-bit type style games that I played in years. And the soundtrack is amazing. And this game doesn't have no high-end graphics. It's just fun. And it's the style reminds me a lot of like the old school Zelda, you know. And it's just a 16-bit graphic game. You know, so to me, still to this day, I don't care much about the graphics. There's games that looks amazing and they're just boring. It doesn't have no soul. It's just crappy. I prefer games that just have the whole package. And the most important thing to me, that is fun. So, yeah, if you guys are into the graphics, go for it. That's your opinion. But to me, I like just everything. You know, there's games that have great graphics and it's fun. And there's some they just have great graphics and it's horrible. So it's not all about the graphics. So you guys want to step in too?
I don't know. I hate that we keep beating this horse down.
Well, yeah, I was going to say we're beating a horse at this point.
It's personal choice. Yeah. For me, I want the video. There's very few games that are out there that can do the 8/16-bit experience and still come across great for my personal experience. Granted, there are options out there, and there are games out there that are completely, you know, 8/16-bit that get that fun across. It's just not for me. So personal choice.
All right, here's another email. This is a pretty good one.
You want me to read it?
Sure. What, Jules? Yeah, you can read that one if you want.
Since I don't read nothing.
Yeah, because there's another email. There's another email I want to read too. So go read that one too.
So okay, so you want me to go?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. What's up, guys? Jules here. Listened to the podcast earlier and to give my opinion on the NX and why Danny is wrong.
Shout out to Jules.
Yes.
I'm always wrong. Okay.
I understand completely Danny's point, but let me prove why he is wrong and why the NX needs to bring it graphically. The original Wii with his very fun controller, the Wii remote, it was a breath of fresh air. Some of the games were amazingly fun, but this is why I sold it. Lack of third-party games. I have to express that because he did all caps and exclamation points.
Paris just mad.
Yeah. So shout out to Hip Hop Gamer. I found myself turning on that system every 6 to 8 months when the next big had to play game came out, all of which were exclusive to the Wii. It was, to Danny's point, a fun system where performance and graphics took a back seat. Meanwhile, serious developers, I guess Nintendo don't have serious developers, were creating amazing looking at the time games for the 360 and PlayStation 3. Two systems that offered more graphical and processing power. There was no Tekken Wii, Gran Turismo Wii, Forza Wii, because the power wasn't there, not to mention Gran Turismo and Forza are exclusive to the PlayStation and the Microsoft Xbox system. So it's like a world-famous conductor saying, hey, you know way, I'm just reading it as I see it, folks. I'm not going to make music for a complete orchestra. I'm going to make music for people that tap dance. No major studio was going to go backwards and downgrade their capabilities and produce for this fun console. In the end, I sold it because the only reason that I played were the sparsely released fun to play games. To sum it up, the PlayStation 4.5 seems to be real and it makes sense. In 2016, you can walk into Walmart and walk out with a 4K smart TV for around $450. It's quickly becoming the norm. As such, a gaming device like a PC that can render 4K video and games can easily max 1080p 60 plus frames per second. So yes, I feel to get the full third-party support, the system needs to output what's now and has been the most played on resolution for years, 1080p minimum. If not, they won't get the support. Nintendo really needs to have a successful product. Well, Jules, thank you for the email. Again, I don't want to beat the dead horse any more than we already have. Other than to say, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I really would like to see the NX come with something that's going to be on par with whatever Sony and Microsoft's going to do here and get that third-party support so that the NX or whatever it's going to wind up being called is a viable console gaming option outside of just Nintendo games. You know, I've said it a million times. Nintendo is the greatest developer in the world. And that alone is why Nintendo has succeeded this past decade, despite having this inferior console, because they have games on their system that you want to play. We all want to play them because we love Nintendo games. But I would like to see them break out of their shell, take it to the next step, and let's start seeing some of these third-party games make it back to whatever this console is going to be. Mm-hmm. But as far as the graphics and frames per second and all that resolution stuff, doesn't really matter. If it's a fun game, it's a fun game, period. So
yep. And I'll end it with this. DS, PlayStation Vita, which one was the most powerful? Vita. Which one was the most successful? DS 3DS. Let's move on. So here's another email I'm gonna read. This is the last email I'm gonna read. This is from Nathan
Drake.
Not Nathan Drake. No. Wrong person. All right, so you're like, hey, my name is Nathan. He's from Wisconsin. Listen to episode 551, and I have to say I love this episode. It reminded me why I listened to your podcast. You talked about games, not future games too much, but what you are playing and what you think about it. It's organic. It's how gamers talk. Talk about what you love and what you don't and why. It's much better listening. I've been a listener. I've been listening to the podcast for about 3 years now and play with some of you online every now and then and try to be active as a member of the community that you have created. Keep up the great work. P and Possum, awesome job on this week's episode. Skeleton Crew, sure, but without anyone else to interrupt you guys, Danny, you really hit your stride. Damn, Nathan, you called me out here, man. Jeez.
Well, he was nice enough not to say your name, even though we know it was you. It's not me.
I know. It's all good. But he didn't mention your name at all, Paris.
He doesn't need to.
Because you're never here.
Yeah, I'm never here. I'm never there.
I'm messing. No, you weren't. You weren't in that episode at that time. So
neither were you.
Five.
Yeah.
What? What? You know what? Yeah, you're right. I wasn't, damn.
Yeah, you didn't read. I know.
AKA,
you're
right. AKA, I was no one around to interrupt them. That was the whole point of the email, Danny. I know, he said all that stuff in the beginning just to take a shot at you at the end. That's really what it came down to.
I know.
Shout out to you. Wow. Shout out to him.
You know, I should take a long break. Let's see how much people miss me.
Okay.
Wow. No. All right. It's quiet. It's all good. It's all good. I remember now very quick, because I mentioned this in the beginning of the show. Paris, it was one tweet that I read earlier. Was it today or yesterday? You talked about the new X-Men movie, that it could be the next crappy movie for 2016. Why is that? What, I'm just curious.
Okay, let me ask you this question then.
Yeah.
What have you seen so far that would get you even remotely interested in what they're doing with X-Men Apocalypse?
No, nothing. No, I'm just, I mean, I like the new cast that they have for the X-Men. Ugh. You don't like the new cast at all?
Well, no. If you're talking from X-Men First Class, like McAvoy and those guys.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence and all that. Yes. But the new Cyclops and Storm and Jean Grey.
No, I'm not talking about that at all.
Look, that's Sansa. That ain't Jean Grey. That's Sansa. This ain't Game of Thrones. It don't look right to me. I don't know. And how dare they get Poe Dameron to be Apocalypse? That's Poe. He's a hero.
That's not even Apocalypse. Okay, that's what's his name from Power Rangers. That's
Power Rangers.
don't get me started.
It looks like a hot mess. It really does. I just. You know, like, I was burnt out on X-Men after X-Men 3. First Class was a breath of fresh air. Singer did an okay job with Days of Future Past. It could have been a lot better than what it was. Yeah. But this one looks like full-on Bryan Singer. You know, because a lot of people love to scream, oh, X-Men 2, X-Men 2, it was the greatest. And all. Go back and watch X-Men 2 now. It's not that good. And I just think Bryan Singer is the wrong guy. I don't know why they couldn't keep Matthew Vaughn around. Matthew Vaughn should have been the guy to do all the future X-Men stuff. I mean, at this point, I'm more interested in the R-rated X-Men stuff with Deadpool and X-Force and Cable. And it sounds
isn't the next Wolverine's going to be rated R too?
I love how he cut me off right as I'm literally about to say that. That's literally what I was about to say.
See, that's how you do it, Nathan. Just like that. Yeah. Interrupt.
And I'm pretty sure that was Nathan Drake at this point. With the shot he had at the end, that was Nathan Drake. He came out of the game to say, Danny, stop cutting people off.
It's all good. All right. All I'm saying is, Paris, I'm excited for Captain America. That one's going to be legit.
Yes, because it's Marvel.
Isn't it X-Men Marvel too?
Okay, can we end the show? Because you just crushed my movie comic book dreams. You don't know the difference between the Marvel, Disney, and the Fox X-Men stuff.
Yes, I know the difference, Paris.
Yes, Wolverine is going to be the next Avenger. You're right, Danny. You got it. Spider-Man is joining Deadpool. All that's happening.
Yes.
You're
anyway, wow, you put that in the show. Jesus.
Oh, he will. Oh, you know he will.
No,
no, you won't.
Do you want me to leave? I'll leave it.
Wow.
What?
Fan mail. I don't know.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up, guys. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes and also share with your friends. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or Spotify, and spread the word about it. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And looking at the podcast right now, the recording, I think this is a longer episode than last week. So there you have it, a longer episode.
Length matters.
Pete, Paris, anything else?
Length matters.
I just want to remind everyone, thank you, Audible.com, for sponsoring this episode of Gamertag Radio. Run over right now to audible.com/GTR and get your free 30-day trial and free audiobook today.
Awesome. All right. Until next week, we're out. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.